Well, another 24 hours has passed, so it probably means there's another podcast available to download. I know that you probably figured that out, hence listening to the podcast. Yeah, it's the podcast paradox. Radio Tinder, of course, that will feature because it always does, because it's always a good segment. In fact, I haven't even done the Radio Tinder yet. I'm literally pre-recording this bit before we've even done it. That is how confident I am that Radio Tinder will be a success when I do it in about 15 minutes' time. We have done old car bomb stories. That is good. That was fun. It was insightful. It really had me eating a dose of humble pie. Speaking of pie, smooth transition to putrid pizzas. Could you make me gag with a putrid pizza recipe? Ooh, tongue twister. That's not a gag. That's an epiglottis pop. Enjoy the podcast.
Wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
We are doing it. It is Friday, so we do Radio Tinder. We do it around this time every Friday. Makes sense. Pretty much recycles on a 24-hour scale. Tonight's Lucky Bachelorettes. It could be about to change for them forever. Please welcome Grace.
Hi.
Hey, girl.
How you going?
Good. You after some rump tonight?
Indeed, I am.
Looking for a bit of prime rib, are you?
Woohoo.
Ooh, a bit of scotch fillet. Would you like some Cumberland sausage, my love? No, yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Explain to me what's going on here, because I notice, I don't answer any of the phone lines, but I can see the phone lines come through. And Radio Tinder, without fail every week, is a very peculiar phone pattern going on. We've got a first wave of calls, which pretty much call up before I even play a song, which means they've just been hanging out for it. And then we've got a second cohort who sort of ring up about 2.5 minutes after that, almost like they've been with their girlfriends going, should I? I'm a bit embarrassing. And they're like, no, go on, do it. You only live once. Which cohort were you in?
I think I was the first one. But
that's
I
like.
Wasn't waiting around. I was in my car and I heard it.
I've been listening like it's a religion since this time last Friday. No, good. Are we like someone who's super keen? All right, tell us about yourself, Grace. It says here you're 21, you're a singing teacher and uni student.
So I am.
What are you studying?
I'm studying music theatre.
Oh, great. Okay. And you
are. Different?
It's cool. You go chase your dreams. It's none of that cookie cutter stuff. That's good. Likes to walk your dog and the beach.
Yeah.
How obsessed with dogs are you? Because there's quite the scale. You are very obsessed. Okay. See, you dog obsession people have pushed the scale further to the right. It's no like, I like dogs. I don't mind a dog. Like, if a dog runs up to me, I'll pat a dog. But it's no, due to your obsession dog cult now, it's no longer good enough to just like a dog. Like it's the only thing you can like and still look like you don't like it.
True. That's true.
So many dog-obsessed people these days. That's good, though. Tall, you are. Blue eyes, blonde hair. Looking for someone with the same interest, nothing too serious. Does that mean you're just looking for a casual?
Well, maybe we'll see how it goes if we get along.
Yeah. Any race?
No.
No, I know. I'm reading this. I'm reading what it says.
All right.
Any race will do. We're not too picky. I pride myself on my non-racism.
I'm a welcoming human.
Good. Am I sensing an accent there at all?
Yes, you are. I lived in America for 5 years when I was younger.
Oh, cool. So you're born in Australia, moved to the US for a little bit when you were a kid, and then moved back.
That's the one.
Cool. Preferably a man with muscles, says here.
Oh, yeah?
Has a job. Yep. And, here we go. Must like dogs.
Yeah.
Must like dogs. I'm obsessed. Mm-hmm. Do they have to like dogs or do they need to be obsessed with dogs? Because people who like dogs.
Just like
dogs. Okay. Not whimper at the thought of a dog licking you. Look, I think that's everything, huh? We're going to put the call out. You ready for this?
Sounds great.
All right. 131060. If you like the sound of Grace, gives a bell right now. She is 21, a singing teacher, uni student, studying musical theatre, likes to walk her dog, go to the beach, tall, blue eyes, blonde hair, looking for someone with the same interest, nothing too serious. Any race, muscles, has a job, must like dogs. Producer Jack has just come back. I am connecting the dots, Producer Jack. You are hungover today because of the staff party last night. You ran off. It's a very bizarre time to go and bail from the producer's lock. We know you've only got a 1 minute window if you need to go for a poo. Can you confirm or deny that you just went for a poo?
I can, and there wasn't even a minute to spare.
All right, producer Jack is back. Producer Draco no longer has to man the phone lines by himself. Like one man outnumbered with 14 people. Call up now. If you didn't get through before, that was because Jack was trying to push one through the tunnel. We are all hands back on deck. You figure out three questions, Grace, and we'll get to know potentially the men of your dreams next. Ready to go?
Woohoo.
All right. Rita Ora plays now. Let You Love Me. If you like the sound of Grace, give us a call. Radio Tinder next.
Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey.
Radio.
We do it every Friday, and we just met Grace before. She is 21, a singing teacher, studying musical theatre at uni. Chasing that dream, more power to her. Likes to walk her dog and go to the beach, tall drink of water. Blue eyes, blonde hair, looking for someone with the same interest, nothing too serious. Muscles would be good. Has a job, must like dogs. And any race, which is great, because that would have been really awkward if you singled out one race that you didn't want to date. Grace. They call you every race Grace, don't they?
Yeah.
Very interesting. The selection of valuable suitors ringing through.
Mm.
Actually got, for the first time ever, 3 20-year-olds tonight.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like 3 20s just lined up, ready to go.
Woohoo.
Yeah. So in your age range, hopefully in your ballpark as well. Let's meet the first man. This guy is a real estate agent. His name, is it Ali or Ali?
Yep, hello.
Yep, is that Ali or Ali?
Ali.
Oh, so good.
Prince Ali, Ali the Sea, Ali of Babwa. Can you flex, show some respect?
Yeah, show some respect, please, please. Hello, Ali.
Hey, how's it going?
And the all fact good? That you're called Ali and not Ali has immediately painted you hotter in both mine and Grace's eyes. Congrats on the long-sounding vowel in your name. Tell us a bit about yourself first, and then Grace will ask you a question.
All right. Real estate agent, 6 foot tall, likes to go to the gym, play football, soccer, as we call it in Australia, at a semi-professional level. And I am a massive dog lover. I do have 2 German Shepherds myself.
Wow, wow. Now let me just be clear. 2 German Shepherds in the dogs? Because I fell for that trick before. I went over to a girl's house. She lived on an acreage and just had 2 German backpackers rounding up sheep. They're dogs, right?
Yep. 2 dogs, yep.
Okay, all right. Well, Grace, ask away. I'm in semi-professional.
Oh, my.
Speaking of semi. I think I might have to ask him a couple of questions later on. No, this is your segment. You go for it. What's the question?
All righty. Ali, what is your perfect night out?
Perfect night out? Ooh. Well, honestly, it'll probably just be a chill night on like a rooftop bar sort of thing, you know, when it's nice weather.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. That's probably perfect night for me.
Dare I say, Ali, you got to have a semi easy night because you got some home opens the next day.
Yeah, exactly right. Semi easy, not too hard. Can't go too hard.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it.
All right. Cool. Not bad. Sounds like a pretty straight shooter there. Good start, Grace. We move on to the second man. I definitely don't have an opener for him, but he is called KD. Hello, KD.
G'day, mate.
Hello. So you were 20-year-old.
Yeah, I'm 20, man.
Jeez, you got the voice of a 38-year-old. This is fantastic.
Yeah, it works out for me, so.
Yeah, it's good. That alpha male husk. Got a real dom on our hands here, Grace. KD, it says here you're a second-year apprentice electrician.
Yeah, that's it, mate.
Loves the gym, writes poems in the spare time. Wow, I mean, tough exterior, but gooey caramel on the inside.
Ooh,
maybe you can get to know more of his tough exterior and his gooey caramel. Sorry. Ask him a question, Grace.
Alrighty. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Where do I see myself in 10 years? Well, hopefully in the future I can have my own business and my electrical company and... Yeah, you know, still be out there having fun and, you know, enjoying my life to the fullest, basically.
Good answer.
Fabulous.
Good answer. I was hoping he'd say that. But, well, I'm a bit of a slow learner, so hopefully fourth year will crush it by then. It says here your rips, you got the abs, nips pierced as well. You got your nips pierced.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh, what do you think about that, Grace?
Woohoo!
Swing off those gymnastic hoops. Woo! Woo! Jeez, how are you going to cut these dudes? This is a creme de la creme crop tonight. Let's meet man number three. Another 20-year-old, Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hi, mate. How are you?
Jesus Christ. He's like a 70-year-old. He's men. In a good way. In a good way.
That's all right. I don't have arthritis yet. I'm good.
Far around. There's an accordion in your lungs. Deep. You're a young apprentice roof plumber. Yeah, I bet you'd have tan thighs.
Oh, well, pretty good soft tan to match, so it's impressive.
Oh, tan thighs and soft hands. What's the question, Grace?
All righty. What was my question? If you saw somebody in a club or at a bar that you really liked, how would you approach them?
I'd be very gentle. I'd probably be a bit shy and timid at first, but maybe start by buying them a drink, give them a nice compliment, and go from there, I suppose.
Mm. He's so hot, he turned me into a horse. This is tough stuff tonight because usually, I mean, a little smoke and mirrors behind the glass curtain here, but we usually get a freak on just to laugh at as well. But these are just three, like, real handsome roosters. You're going to have to let go of one to start off with. So we had man number one, Ali, the real estate agent, two German Shepherds, KD, man number two, with the nipple rings, electrical apprentice, and Jason, husky old Jason, the young apprentice roof plumber as well. Tender.
Hmm.
Who are you going to get rid of?
Tough. They're all fabulous. I think I'm
going to
go with KD, sorry.
Oh, no. KD, my main man.
Sorry. Bye.
Oh, no. Sorry, KD.
Bye. Have a good night.
Yeah, I think dogs are better company than women anyway.
Oh, Jesus, KD.
Oh,
Jesus.
I'm glad I didn't choose him.
Ooh, I mean, that was just a voice grab legally.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God. Freaked me out.
No. KD is out. That means Ali, man number one, and Jason, man number three, is left. You're going to have to let go of one more before we find your Prince Charming tonight.
God. Are you making this difficult?
Mm.
I think I'm going to have to let go Jason.
Oh, man number three, Jason.
Hey, sorry, that's not bad. Sorry, coming Jason. Second isn't that bad. I'll get over it.
No.
No. Bye.
Yeah, I think dogs are better company than women anyway.
Oh.
Even though I'm allergic to them, I'd like a nice little min pin or a Bichon frieze that's hyped around Janet. Could keep my warmth until they finally pass away and I'll be on my own.
Oh, God. What a Debbie Downer.
Wow, it's dark.
Yeah. This is taking a lot out of context, to be honest. If anyone knows where that's from, I'll be getting in a lot of trouble. Look, this is the time where we try and tie up your fairy tale in a nice double knot.
Woohoo.
There's no guarantees he likes you, though.
That's fair.
No one writes for free in this world, but Ali, the 20-year-old real estate agent who loves dogs, two German Shepherds, plays semi-professional soccer at a semi-professional level, 6 foot slim tan, long hair, brown eyes. Do you take Grace to be your lawfully wedded Facebook girlfriend?
Yep.
Yep. Wee. Oh, yeah.
Don't actually have Facebook, but yeah.
Settle down, guys. Settle down. Settle down. Ali Ababwa. Ali Ababwa.
Ali fabulous. He's Ali
Ababwa. Genuflect. Show some respect. Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey. I'm someone who prides myself on, like, not being materialistic, like really just having the bare essentials in life. A minimalist, one might say. Doesn't bother me. Very, very, very rarely would I buy some new clothes. All my places, I always try and get them furnished because I can't be bothered, you know, having all this furniture and lugging things around. I like to just have the freedom to be able to pack up my suitcase and go. Like that to me, I find that really comforting. I get too stressed out with too many possessions. This translates into the car world as well. Never been one to want to go out and buy a new car or some big souped up sort of thing and be like, hey, look at me. Look at me with my big car and my small appendage. Always sort of being one of those ones looking for a bargain. And one of my best purchases ever is buying my Mazda 626, which I bought 4 years ago off a mate for $500 cash. And there's not many cars you can buy for $500. You never trust someone on Gumtree with a $500 car. But this was a good mate of mine. I thought, he's not going to rip me off. Stood me in good stead. 4 years, gone strong. It's done big trips. It's driven Townsville to Sydney before. This car just keeps going and going. I think it's racked up about 340,000 kilometres. It's a bomb, right? It's a bomb. And I'm a 29-year-old male. This car is probably more suited towards some 17-year-old peep-later sort of thing, and they'll sell it or sell it for scrap when they're 19. This is not a car for a 29-year-old full-time working man, but I pride myself on this. I pride myself on driving it till it dies. And it's been testing me a little bit lately. Now, every time there's a bit of a problem and I think, oh, this is its last straw, I take it to the mechanic, it's just a very small job. About this time last year, driving down the road, smoke coming right out of the bonnet, smoking away. I thought, oh, this is a head gasket. It's done. This is it. This is curtains for me. Managed to roll it into a mechanic. Just need a bit of radiator fluid. $49 job. On its way again. Kept going. About 6 months ago, I was driving to work in third gear. All of a sudden, I couldn't get out of third gear. Couldn't get into fourth. Couldn't get into second. Was just stuck in third gear. Like in my very own speed movie on the drive to work. At stop at the red light, started in third, coasting down, people beeping me, all sorts. I thought, oh, this is it. This is done now. The clutch is gone or the engine or something. No, just need some brake fluid. $99 problem. Right back on the road. The airbag light started flashing the other day, flashing six times. I thought, what's going on here? It just seemed to have stopped. It seemed to have taken care of itself. Didn't even need to take it to the mechanic for this one. This problem at the moment, it may be my final problem because it's really starting to grind me down. The right-hand indicator light, obviously when you flick it and it goes tick, 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 lets you know that you're turning right at an intersection. This light doesn't flash anymore. And it's not flashing at all. It'll just turn on. So the second I flick my right indicator, the indicator light just turns on. And it doesn't flash at all. So this is just an extra light. Well, no one sort of knows what that one is. So what I've actually had to start doing is manually moving the right indicator like a windscreen wiper. And I've got to move it down and then move it up. And I count it in my head, like every sort of half a second, moving it up and down. So I do its own click. I'm manually flashing my right-hand indicator. It's really grinding me down. It's very annoying. There's a lot of right-hand turns on the way to work. On the way home, I'm fine. The left works great. But it's really, really starting to grind me down. And I just think I need a little bit of inspiration. Your old car stories. Can I keep going?
Inspire me with your old car story.
Inspire me with your old car story on 131060. Because we've all had a bomb. We've all driven them till they died. I'm sure there are people in stickier situations in the past than me with my little right-hand indicator conundrum. Audio Man Beachy is in his audio dungeon at the moment, or he's going to get Uber Eats or something. But he told me a great story today where he used to drive this old bomb Daihatsu, and he couldn't start it with his car keys. He needed to open the bonnet and sort of connect something or push on something, and then it would kickstart and it'd go and it'd be right as rain. But he told me that one time he was driving down this 60K highway and he stalled the car. Everyone's beeping him and he can't start it. He had to get out of the car. Everyone's going, what are you doing? He's got to pretty much perform CPR on his old bomb. Get it going again. Very, very tetchy if he stalled the car anytime soon. That was his final straw. But it inspired me to keep going. I mean, hang on. There's people out there with nuttier car problems than me, whether present or in the past. 131060, inspire me with your old car stories. Because I'm on the ropes. I don't want to be on the ropes. I don't want to have to buy myself a new car. I think I just need a pep up with my manual indicator.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey. Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey. Inspire me with your old car story.
Inspire me with your old car story on 131060. I'm really on the ropes at the moment. I'm looking for people who've been in terrible, dire situations with terrible old bombs of cars. Maybe it's present, maybe it was in the past. And how you got through it. Because I've been driving the same Mazda 626. It's some sort of 1997 nonsense. Bought off my mate $500 4 years ago. And it's got me from A to B. And it's very outperformed how much I was expecting to get out of it. But now it's become so old and such a laughing stock, such a ridiculous car. I wear it with a badge of honour. I really like that. I sort of like explain to people, they're like, oh, God, that's a bit of a weird car. I'm like, yeah, like, honestly, I don't care about material possessions. I'm very proud that this car has essentially cost me $100 a year, pro-rated out. I bought it very cheap. I like that. I like that I don't drive a really cool, snazzy car. Badge of honour, but it's on its last legs, and I'm really thinking it may almost become time to sell it to the scrapyard. Its latest problem, the right-hand indicator doesn't flash anymore. So when I put the right indicator down, it does the orange light and it just stays on. It doesn't make a clicking noise, doesn't flash the light or anything to let anyone know that I'm actually turning right. So I've resorted to have to manually doing it myself, flicking it up and down with my very own arm as I'm trying to change around the corner. I'm getting quite good at it, actually. It's very easy at the traffic lights. When you're waiting, you can do it. But then once you've got to turn the wheel as well and do it, coordinate, it's like tapping your head and rubbing your stomach at the same time in car form. I'm getting very good at it, but it is grinding me down. Jonathan in Melbourne, have you got a scenario that may make me feel a bit better and just give me the inspiration to keep on tracking with this piece of crap? Jonathan?
Yes, Danny. Yeah, besides my car not having working windows, when you go to above 3 on the gears, your speedo dies on it. So I'm stuck on a 0 speedo on the freeway. And I've just got to guess the speed. And then every now and again, the accelerator gives out. So I'm a country boy.
Yep.
So as you don't get all the off-ramps on the freeways. You just go on a nature strip and go across.
Yep.
The accelerator goes in. You just got to reverse back into the nature strip so you don't get T-boned, basically.
The windows that don't work as well, you've reminded me of mine. My air conditioning, it's either on 0 or 4. There's no middleman. You put it on 1, 2, and 3, doesn't work. It's like it's cyclone or bust. Have you became good at gauging your speed on the freeway without the speedometer? Like you can set it like much like I've improved at my right hand indicating manually. Have you improved at being able to sense when you're going 80 and when you're going 83?
Yeah, I'm like a little bit there, and then I just got to have a lot of faith in the bloke in front of me.
Yeah. That's true. You always just stick behind, 10 meters behind a car, and home till Christmas. This is helping. It hasn't got me over the line just yet. Steph in the ACT, have you got a problem with a car?
Hey, Danny, how's it going?
Very good, thank you. Just struggling with a bit of a Friday inspo. Hashtag help me out.
I used to have an old Sigma, and the gear stick popped out one day, and so my granddad like glued it back in, but it couldn't reverse anymore.
I'm just trying to think when you need to reverse. Reverse parallels.
Yes. So, none of that. No. And parking, I basically had to find one where you had to drive through, or I'd go up on a hill and, like, roll back.
Conditions needed to be perfect.
Yeah. I was pretty lucky. And the problem was actually solved for me in the end because it got stolen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But they found it parked. at a local shopping centre, and obviously they couldn't reverse it. Yeah,
that's how you know you've got a real shitbox on your hand. We're not even a burglar wants to keep it. Thanks, Steph. Damien in Orange. I'm getting there. I'm getting a little bit of inspo here. I'm feeling me and the Mazda got another year in us now.
How you going, Danny?
My step. Good, thanks. What's your shit car issue?
HQ hold nudes, free on the floor. Had to put a screwdriver down to put it in reverse.
Oh, similar to Steph before. So you had to sort of jam something in it to make sure that it could...
Yeah, lift up the boot on the side of the tunnel.
Right.
Put the screwdriver in there to knock it in reverse.
More power to... This is a... You're breaking the mold here because usually people with shit cars are the people that really know nothing about cars. It sounds like you know your way or two around an engine, but refuse to give in still.
Mechanic by trade, mate.
Oh, there we go. The pinnacle. Just refusing to let it go. Stacey in Twockley. Sick town name. What's your car issue?
Hey, how you going?
Very good. Four how you goings in a row. I think that's a show record, by the way.
Oh, okay.
It's something about people with shit cars and good manners.
Tripley in New South Wales. Woo!
Okay, all right. Keep the shout-outs to a minimum and the car inspo to a maximum, please.
Okay, so it was a 75 Lancer, so I'm going back quite a few years. So I was 17 at the time. I'm now in my 40s. Right. And so I would be driving and then I would actually turn a corner and my back doors would actually fly open. So they actually didn't close. And so I'd actually, and I didn't realise until I had people in the car and they're like, the doors are opening. I'm like, oh shit, sorry. I'm like, oh my goodness, you're going to have to hold those doors. So, yeah. And with the same car also, another time, I went through like a car wash and remember the old car washes, like with the big brushes and everything?
Yeah.
So I'm in the car wash and I didn't realise that it leaked. So everything just, the water and everything just came through every single window. So we were so drenched and I had... my little sister in the car, because she was like 11 years younger than me. So, and we were just fully drenched in, like, and my car stunk for weeks. So it was quite hilarious. And I paid like, I think $1,000 for this car that I bought from an old school friend. So I was quite annoyed. And the number plates were SFA. Yeah,
all right, you got the funny music now. Thank you, Stacey. Producer Jack told me to wrap it up. He wants to get a story on as well.
Yeah, my first car was a 1984 Mazda, and it used to be my nana's.
Was that that brown, it looked like an old person shit?
Yeah, you know the one.
I remember that. I forgot all about that. Oh.
It was a little old tinny.
Yes.
And it was my nana's, and I... had Bad Girl on the front of it, which one of my cousins had put on for my nana's. So I was driving around this car with Bad Girl on the front of it, and it was just a piece of shit.
That is legitimately the not the worst car I've ever seen any of my friends drive, the worst car I've ever seen on the road. I forgot all about that. Where is that car now?
Oh, my sister ended up trading it in to some guy to come do some gardening at her house for an hour.
Great, of course.
Wakey, wakey. It's Danny Lakey.
A Pizza Hut menu from 1970 resurfaces. This is quite cool. That might be a little bit of a nostalgic relic, a bit of a blast from the past. A woman from New South Wales has uncovered an old Pizza Hut menu in her third drawer down, and it reflects a vastly different time period. So she's shared it to a Facebook group called Old Shops Australia. And the prices are not to be believed. Well, at least this is what this article's saying. This is poor journalism. I feel there's a couple more things they could have focused on in this article than the prices. And it reads on, the earliest piece of Pizza Hut ephemera we've come across and a true artifact from Australia's popular culinary history, she captioned the post. Not bad caption. The chain of restaurants sold a series of pizzas topped with mozzarella cheese, prawn and sausage, but it's the prices that are drastically different from today. The 1970s menu didn't go without an alcohol selection as well. Draft beer is advertised 25 cents and a bottle of wine only costs $2. I've got the menu here. Yeah, I mean, it is fun. It's fun to think back then. I'd be rich if I was in the 1970s. I could buy all the wine. You couldn't, though, could you? Because of inflation. And that's what really irks me about this article. It says, for these prices, we suspect that pizza lovers would be tucking into slices far more frequently and saving a lot more coin. They wouldn't. It would be the exact same. Just like in 50 years' time, they'll look back and go, oh, my God. Believe that? They used to pick up pizzas for $6.95. Cheap as chips. It's called inflation. This isn't even the most bizarre thing about the article either. Two pizzas down. Of course, the first pizza option is mozzarella cheese, a double portion of mozzarella tasty with pizza sauce. A large pizza, $1.70. Okay, I get it. Second pizza, capsicum pizza? Just capsicum. The distinctive spicy taste of fresh-grown green peppers blended with pizza sauce and liberally sprinkled with some parmesan. Well, you'd want it to be bloody liberal. Those green slugs lurking all over it. That's the only ingredient. Not buying it. I don't care. $1.95. No chance. Just a capsicum pizza? No one else find that rancid? The third one down. They did pizza differently back in these days. No one in the flavouring marketing department was thinking outside the box at all. Third pizza down. Onion pizza. Fresh, diced, young onions. Added to the cheese and tomato base. $1.95. Sorry. Putrid. Much, much too putrid for me.
Putrid pizza. Putrid pizza.
13, 10, 60. what's the putrid pizza that you order? Because we've done this in the past. We did a couple of weeks ago. Have you ever been sandwich shamed? What's your bad sandwich combos? Far out. We had some corkers. Fridays are usually a quiet night for calls, but for food-related topics usually go off. There must be some rancid pizza flavours out there where no one wants it. More power to you. If your number one pizza selection is some sort of flavour that everyone else would view as putrid, no one's sharing your pizza. That's quite good. I mean, delicious pizza in my eyes, but no one else thinks that is a pepperoni, anchovy and chili flake pizza. God, it's good gear. You can screw your face up all you want out there, Producer Jack. That's the thing. You're not coming over to my pizza. Nothing worse than someone who's trying to pick around at your pizza. You're like, oh, I'll trade your slice for a slice. You're like, well, what do you have? Like, Supreme. It's like, no. No way. Get away. This is a boring, rancid-flavoured pizza. Putrid pizzas on 131060. Do you have a flavour? Maybe a sneaky prize up for grabs if you can make me physically gag on the air. That'll be tough. I'm a real hard bargainer when it comes to live gags. Putrid pizzas, 131060. We'll get the calls on the air next.
Wakey, wakey, it's Danny Lakey.
Then we're talking putrid pizzas.
Putrid pizza, putrid pizza.
It comes off the back of a Pizza Hut menu from the 1970s that has resurfaced online. A woman found it in her sort of third drawer down. Hasn't touched the thing for 50 years, apparently. It's quite an interesting look. You know, the prices, obviously, due to inflation, you can buy a pizza back in the 1970s for about $2. That's fine. People are gasping at that. They're just forgetting about inflation. I can't believe this journalist writer is, for these prices, we suspect that pizza lovers would be tucking into slices far more frequently and saving a lot more money. Untrue. But what really grabs me is the lack of variety and some of the heinous, repugnant, repulsive flavours in this menu. Second one down, capsicum pizza. Just capsicum. Just green capsicum, the distinctive spicy taste of fresh grown green peppers blended with pizza sauce. Can't think of anything worse. A fresh capsicum, don't mind. The second you put that through a 9-minute oven, green slugs all over the thing. 131060, it's not bad having a repulsive pizza though. No one else wants a bite. Crystal and Shepparton, you don't want a bite of your boyfriend. Pizza.
No, I don't.
No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I won't be playing along with his pizzery games. What is it?
No.
What's the flavor?
He has barbecue chicken with just chicken and cheese and barbecue sauce.
Sounds like one of the top five most common pizzas ever ordered, to be honest.
Need extras.
That's just a chicken monaco without the mushrooms.
Yep.
Yes, well, to be honest, I was more just looking for a prize.
I'm not gagging at that. Oh, I'll be tucking into that one. Me and your boyfriend will go half and half. Kyle from the Central Coast.
Mate, how are you?
Yeah, good.
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Good. Is this stereotypically a gross pizza, or is this just a pizza flavour and you're ringing up for a prize?
No, it's my old man's pizza. He literally does it to gross us all out so we don't eat it.
Oh, a strategic gross play. Okay. So what is
straight
it?
Up. See, basically, he'll order just a straight margarita pizza, but then he'll pack it full of prawns, mushrooms, anchovies, and basically anything else he can just chuck on it so we won't touch it.
This is great.
The smell is just vile in itself.
Yeah, he has to eat the pizza in the study whilst everyone else is enjoying a movie in the front room.
It's
a smart play as well, because some pizzas, the flavours don't drip through and you can easily be like, well, you know, I'll pick off all your toppings and I'll just finish it off as a nice cheese pizza. There's no escaping the prawn juice and the anchovies and the sort of muscles, no matter how much you pick off that bad boy as well. I like this. I like your dad a lot. Not his favourite pizza, but what he knows is guaranteed to not get a touch off anyone else. Ange, Coffs Harbour. That's your name and where you live. It says your age here as well, but due to my experience on radio and dealing with women, I shall not mention that.
Thank you.
No workers. It's just part of the Danny Lakey service. What's the gross pizza?
Well, growing up with a friend, we used to hang out on weekends and we'd buy cheap frozen pizzas from Coles and we'd stick tuna and pickled onions on it.
Whoa. Hang on, I'm just going to imagine that and see if I can get a gag going. No, just an epiglottis pop. I'm actually quite the fan of tuna and pickled onions myself.
Oh, yeah, it was interesting, but it was delicious.
Yeah, I bet so. I like someone who thinks outside the box as well. Very thrifty with
I've also got another favourite one, which I still buy to this day.
Oh, greedy. Go on.
Hawaiian ham and pineapple with a banana.
Yeah, don't mind that either. That's a sort of like Red Rooster Tropicana pack meets the Hawaiian pizza.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Another epiglottis pop. I used to work at Domino's. And I remember this was back in 2004. I don't know if they still do it now, but all the Domino's pizzas, if you order egg on the Domino's pizza, back in 2004 at least, it was just egg sauce. It was powdered egg stuff and then water. You'd mix it, and if any of the egg ones, you'd just squeeze this egg sauce on. And someone obviously didn't realise that. They thought they were getting like fresh free-range eggs cracked over the top of them. They ordered a pineapple and egg pizza. And whilst we were making it, we were just going, this is heinous. It was like mushy pineapple. It was the egg sauce. And I thought, oh, God, this poor customer is not going to be happy with this egg and pineapple pizza. I don't know if they do that now. Maybe Domino's are cracking freshies on top. Who knows? Daniel in Melbourne. Wrap this up.
G'day, how you going?
G'day, good, good. I'm getting a lot of how you going tonight. Is it a full moon out there? What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know, mate. That's just my normal greeting.
It's great for you. A lot of friendly people tonight on the show. I've never had so many how are yous. I've never had to sort of reassess how I'm currently feeling so much in all my days. What's the greatest pizza?
There's a local pizza joint near my house that they do a broccoli and cheese pizza. And I love it. I actually think it's great. I'm a big fan of broccoli.
Yeah.
But my girlfriend reckons it smells like feet. But it's another strategic one, so she doesn't touch it now, so it's all mine. So.
Men are cluing on. Men with big bellies and small girlfriends who say that they're not interested in a slice and then end up eating half the pizza are cluing on to your ways. And we will go the road less traveled.